We are ready to move to sign-up sheet. We always extend the courtesy to students and people with disabilities, so if you fit that description, feel free to come up early. I know there's some students here, and then we'll move into the rest of the list, and we'll take Mr. Kelly early on because he has a semi-official capacity here today. So come on up. Good morning. Who'd like to go first?
Yes, I will.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning. I'm Ella Schreiner, and I'm a freshman at Grant High School. I have spoken to you before because I am deeply concerned about my future and the world that all of today's youth will inherit. It is clear that climate change is the greatest threat to our future. Because of that, it is essential that we not only limit fossil fuel development, but that we also take strong, direct action to reduce our carbon emissions. Portland has long been an environmental leader, and it is critically important that we continue to take aggressive steps to meet the city's Climate Action Plan goal of an 80% reduction in emissions by 2050. I come from a family that reads nutrition labels on packaged foods and pays attention to fuel efficiency information for cars. As consumers, knowledge allows us to make informed choices, and I believe that requiring home energy scores will be a catalyst for both sellers and buyers to make energy-saving improvements to their homes. I live in an older home constructed with a single-pane windows and very little insulation. Over the years, we have replaced windows, added insulation, and upgraded to a high-efficiency furnace. It would have been very useful for my parents to have known from the start which energy upgrades would have the greatest impact on our energy bills and comfort. We will soon have new neighbors in the house next door. In the process of purchasing their home, our neighbors-to-be arranged for a complete home inspection. Checks were made to determine if the old oil tank had been properly decommissioned, whether there were problems with the sewer line, if the roof was sound, and whether the old electrical wiring posed a threat. Obtaining information about a prospective home is taken for granted in today's house sales, and it makes perfect sense that home buyers should also learn about the energy efficiency of a prospective home. I have heard concerns that this proposal would place a financial burden on sellers and that we should move slowly to make changes. However, requiring a home energy score for home sales does not present a significant financial burden for most sellers, and it would promote jobs, green jobs, locally. Portland already has requirements for energy performance disclosure for commercial buildings, and it is time to turn our attention to residential properties. I hope that you still have the environmental awards my classmates and I gave you at last year's fossil fuel infrastructure hearing, because Portland youth need you to continue to act as champions for our earth. I urge you all to vote yes on this proposed ordinance. I believe it's good for homeowners and important for our future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Yes, we make that exception. No matter whether we agree with them or not, when students come here, we want to say thank you for already being leaders in our community.
And yes, you can certainly go in my office. It's proudly displayed. Thank you.
Welcome. Good morning.
Hello. My name is Olivia Magritte, and I am an eighth grader at Sunnyside Environmental School. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you today. As you know, climate change is transforming all life on Earth, and it has already had observable effects on our environment. Glaciers have shrunk, trees are flowering sooner, and plant and animal ranges have shifted. Without action, the impacts of climate change threatens to catastrophically damage our planet. Because of this, we must work to contain and then to reduce our output of greenhouse gas emissions. My family regularly consults miles per gallon ratings on cars we might buy, energy guide labels on appliances, and nutrition labels on food. They have taught me that this knowledge helps us as consumers make informed decisions. This being said, consumer labeling on homes is rarely available in most real estate markets. Less than 2% of Portland's 160,000 single-family homes have an energy score. This lack of information just doesn't make sense to me, especially when we know that we cannot achieve our 2015 Climate Action Plan goal to reduce emissions by 80% by 2050 unless we majorly increase our energy efficiency and participation in renewable energy activities in the residential category. These energy upgrades benefit sellers and buyers while at the same time reduces carbon pollution. Beyond lowering energy bills and greater housing affordability, energy-efficient homes are more comfortable and livable and at time of sale, sell for hire. As a youth of today, I am worried about my future in the world that my generation will inherit. What you decide will not only affect America or the city of Portland, but it will affect the entire world. Portland has an incredible opportunity to continue taking action as an environmental leader and set an example for surrounding communities. I urge you to vote yes. Thank you.
You very much. Well done. Thank you. Morning.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We support this measure. We are very aware that come January, you will be on your own. You have to do this kind of stuff on a local level because you're going to get no support from the federal level, none. The prison administration doesn't even believe in climate change, thinks it's a Chinese conspiracy. You have to do this kind of stuff. You have to look at it, and you have to be a little careful. We're a little concerned that the homeowners apparently are going to pick up the bill on this. Why doesn't the utility people get involved in some of the payments? They're going to make a lot of money. I just looked at my electric bill in a one-bedroom apartment. It was $100. Now, we do have some unusual things. I have an oxygen that goes 24/7, so maybe that's part of it. But I was kind of stunned at that. And it went up about $20 from last month. So the oxygen is not one of the problems because it's been there for 8 years. Again, let me congratulate you. We are so worried that the young people are not going to become activists. And you just make me smile, both of you. And I know I fight with you guys on a council, but this is something that we can agree on. You have to do it on a local level. You have to figure out a way, even if it may be illegal and the state will get angry with you, do it anyway. You got 40 lawyers, you know? You got 10 paralegals. Do it anyway and say, come and get us. Because we're on the side of the angels on this one. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Other students and other anyone else wants to take that courtesy, come on up. Thank you. Good morning.
Hi. Welcome. My name is Emma Swanson, and I'm a senior at Wilson High School. My mom has always advocated for the environment, and all my life she and my dad have told me to turn off the lights, take shorter showers, don't blast the heat. In my environmental science class, we discussed the importance of small actions, the 1,000 small actions that people can take to make things better in our community and have an impact on climate change. I read the home energy score policy, and it seems like a good incentive for people to make their homes more energy efficient. That's a really good thing. This recent election has left me feeling a little helpless, like I don't have a voice. I'm only 17, and I can't do anything to make a change is not the mindset that I want to become familiar with. I want to have a voice. I want to be informed about important policies, and I want other people to have a voice as well. This policy is an example of where it is really important where people have the best information about their homes. I know that I would want to know, and as a voice in my local community, I think it's important for consumers to have accurate, transparent, and consistent information about the homes that they're buying and living in. I am the voice of a millennial, and you guys are making the decisions that are going to impact my future and the future of my peers. This energy scoring policy is something that I value, and I think is an important step forward in creating a sustainable environment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Amalia Silverheart. I'm 16 years old. I'm a junior in high school. And as has already been said much more eloquently than I can, it's imperative that we take action on climate change and reduce Portland's emissions. I think that this proposal is an excellent way of doing that, in part because it will raise awareness for this. People who wouldn't necessarily be thinking about the effect that their home, that their daily lives have on the climate and the environment will be given the information to do so. And I wanted to remind you that I'm young. It is very likely that I will outlive all of you. And I will suffer the effects of climate change in ways that you never will, that you can't imagine, and so will people all over the world. So please support this and continue doing everything you can to reduce Portland's emissions. I know I will be.
Thank you. Eloquently said. Okay, so let's move on forward into the sign-up sheet with Mr. Kelly and two others off your list there, please. Another volunteer who overdoes it in the number of hours he gives our city. So let's call the other first two on the list in addition to Mr. Kelly.
Justin Wood and Evan Swanson.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I didn't know I'd have to follow some really incredible kids.
Sorry about that. Yeah. It's
going to be hard to hold a candle to them. So act locally, jobs, carbon, comfort, and health are my main themes. I think we've already talked quite a bit about acting locally and its importance. Jobs. The East Bill that set up Clean Energy Works Oregon and now Inhabit, I think was the most impactful, powerful jobs creator in our state in the time of the Great Recession. Those jobs need to be continued. They have been great jobs. Jobs that are family wage, jobs that provide benefits, jobs that provide entry level, and then opportunities in the construction industry. I know in my company, people have moved from our energy retrofit division onto other jobs in our business. Carbon and climate change. The average savings that we achieve in a project, an energy efficiency project, is about just over 3 tons of carbon per year per house. That kind of impact counts up. And when you think about all the years that that house is going to have an impact, it really makes a difference. Comfort and health. I think sometimes that we miss that, but I had an energy retrofit job done in my own house. And I marvel sometimes at just how much more comfortable it is. Just less drafty, more comfortable. But more importantly, health. Jackie Dingfelder referred to New Zealand. There was a study done in New Zealand. They've done hundreds of thousands of homes. That is really speaks to the health issue that I think sometimes we don't talk about enough. But what they found in New Zealand was things like 40% less missed school days from the children that were living in a home that had an energy retrofit and had their home really transformed from a health perspective. Less hospital visits and less missed days of work for the parents in those homes. I mean, I think a big impact. There's some studies going on in Oregon and in the country right now that I think will bear that out here. This is common sense. I would like you to just imagine for a moment if you were proposing an ordinance to require that auto dealers could no longer disclose the mileage per gallon, how many people might be in this room. It would probably result in some objection. And finally, I think you're going to hear from my compatriots at the home builders that this shouldn't cover new homes. And I'm just going to say that a good portion of the home building community in Portland are building homes well beyond the base code. And those builders, I'm pretty sure, would want to have the opportunity to disclose the fact that they were doing that and have somebody from outside of their firm demonstrate that fact. So this is common sense. We need to do it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, member of the council. My name is Justin Wood. I am a builder here in Portland. Our company name is Fish Construction. I heard Mr. Kelly and others talk about this being common sense, but I'm going to ask for what I think is a common sense approach, and that is to consider exempting new construction. Everything I've heard from today talks about the benefits from this program, and not one of these benefits would apply to new construction. In your own climate action plan, the climate action plan addresses existing buildings. It doesn't talk about new buildings. Also, there's been several comparisons to the city of Austin. The city of Austin exempts homes for the first 10 years of the program. They don't require it on new construction either. you ask yourself, what is the end game for newer homes versus older homes? When you get a report on an older home, it's going to give you a list of repairs that you could potentially make to have the home score higher. That report on new construction would show you virtually nothing. New homes built to code in the state of Oregon are going to routinely score a 9, if not a 10, when they're just built to code. So there's not going to be that big of a differentiation between a house built to a code, which might score a 9, and a house built to a LEED certification, which might score a 10, whereas an older home might be a 2, a 3, or a 4, and there's a huge difference in what you can achieve from it. If the goal of this is to just inform home buyers as to what features are in their home, every new construction home that's built in this state, built in this city, the plans are marked with the insulation, the furnace, the water heater, everything that's put into the house. Those plans are available on Portland Maps. They're part of the permit process. They're inspected by the city to make sure that they're there. Lastly, I just want to point out, there's other agencies that do this as well in the state. The DMV doesn't require cars that are 5 years old to have an emissions test, newer than 5 years old. The only other last thing I'd like to say is this: it was mentioned earlier that this was taken in front of stakeholder groups. This, to the best of my knowledge, this wasn't ever taken in front of any home building groups. I also sit on the Development Review Advisory Committee, and this never came before DRAC for their input as well on how it would impact new construction. So on that, I just want to close and say happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Thank you very much.
Justin, quick question. If I were in the market for a new home and I was interested in a home that your company built, Where would I go to get the information to verify the energy efficiency of that home? And what's the path of least resistance? Because one of the things we're trying to do is create a uniform system, apples to apples, and we want it to be easy for the consumer to access this information. So where would I go if I wanted to get that information if I'm considering buying one of your homes?
Well, as of today, a couple different things you could do is, one, you could look on the plans. And I realize not everybody's technical enough to want to look at the plans and see what's in their house. But most of us, when we list our homes, we list the energy features that the home has in it, whether it's a 95% furnace, a high-efficiency gas water heater, various other things. And that's all as part of the listing. Most of us also, if we're using a realtor, we'll come up with some type of a sales flyer that talks about all the energy efficiency features of our home. So as a sales tool, the only thing I'll say is I think there's a step maybe that could be in between here that we're not currently doing that we could, where you could assess. Like I said, most new homes come in at a 9 or a 10. You probably could score the home very easily just by saying any home built to code in the state of Oregon is a 9. And I'm guessing that somebody who's an expert in that could verify that, and you could just say that a home built to code is a 9 or whatever the number might be.
Okay. I just want to say from my point of view, the idea of uniformity has some appeal, and making it as convenient as possible for the consumer has some appeal. So having to look at plans and maybe bring some technical expertise in to help with that doesn't make an impression on me, at least. But if there is a streamlined way of getting a score because it's a new home, and you think there's a way to do that might result in a less expensive process or a streamlined process, I'd be interested in that. But I'm less interested if it requires the consumer to go pull plans and talk to other builders and do due diligence, because the goal here, just as I don't want to spend a lot of time when I'm buying a car talking to a bunch of people, I want to look at the sticker on the windshield and have apples to apples. So if you'd consider that.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Commissioners and Mayor. My name is Evan Swanson. I'm a mortgage professional with over 14 years of experience here in Portland, as well as a concerned property owner. I'm here to voice my opposition to the mandatory energy audit. There's no doubt that the proposed ordinance is well-intentioned. I, along with others in this room, share in the goal of reducing carbon emissions. That said, like so many other well-intentioned measures, this is stocked with unintended consequences that will negatively impact the ability of homeowners in the city to fairly and openly transact property. According to a 2016 CoreLogic report, roughly 3 out of 4 transactions in the state of Oregon involve some form of financing. As a result, 3 out of 4 homes are scrutinized by bank underwriters and appraisers. As a part of their due diligence when evaluating collateral for a loan, bank appraisers and underwriters routinely review information listed on Portland Maps to gather information. It is my understanding under the proposal that the energy audit will be posted on Portland Maps as well, and herein lies unintended consequence number 1. In an instance where the publicly displayed energy audit suggests any adverse conditions in the home, the underwriter and or appraiser will be required to cross-reference the public information to make sure that the property meets minimum property requirements as set forth by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA, or other applicable underwriting guidelines. In the event where the underwriter appraiser deems the property fails to meet those requirements, then the bank will demand required repairs as a contingency of completing the financing and therefore completing the sale. I will also be submitting a letter from the chief appraiser of the largest locally owned appraisal management company here in the region that solidifies this information. In some instances, the buyer and seller may be able to negotiate the required repairs without threatening the sale. However, there will be instances where the buyer and seller is not willing to spend the additional money or is not financially capable. In that case, the sale will not take place unless the seller can find a cash buyer, in which case they will likely offer a much lower price. Thus, I believe the proposed policy is unfair to low-income households who are less likely to have resources to maintain the property or required repairs. I understand there are deferrals in the measure, but as we've talked about, the lack of a publicly displayed energy audit will trigger unscrupulous people towards predatory marketing efforts. I also want to quickly address the fallacy of the miles per gallon comparison. I can guarantee you that if you required a car manufacturer to send every car to be tested for miles per gallon, we could see that the economies of scale wouldn't apply. This is a much different requirement. Thank you.
Thank you. And you're going to submit some written. Oh, folks, we only clap for students, so he may be a student in his spare time. But the question, and that is, you're going to submit your written testimony as
correct.
Well. Good. Thank you, Dan. Go ahead.
Sorry. So I'm just curious. Do you have any idea what kind of a score would correlate with a lender requiring minimum repairs?
It's a good question, and because it's a new policy, I can't say. My concern isn't so much. The score would be the initial trigger for an underwriter appraiser to open up the report. And then possibly when they open up the recommendations tab and it says that the furnace is not working or working at low capacity, it's going to be gray area. So I don't know with certainty, but I'm certainly think it's going to open up the possibility in certain situations.
But isn't that information generally available in a home inspection?
The home inspection is not submitted to the bank as part of loan application. So lenders typically do not see the inspection. We get the appraisal.
So, but there is certain information must be disclosed if there's a health and safety issue.
Correct.
And that's already built into the underwriting, which is why sometimes certain kinds of repairs can be mandated in prior to closing.
Correct.
And so, what evidence do we have that this is a problem in places like Austin and other places that have this requirement?
I haven't consulted with those areas.
Wouldn't that be the first place we want to look to see whether there's been any impact on lending in a city that actually requires this?
Sure, absolutely. And I can see, you know, this is probably a minority of cases, but the problem is it's going to happen to the most vulnerable households in our city because they are the ones who are not going to have the resources. So maybe you call the city of Austin and how are they going to even know that? How do you track transactions that never happened, right? And in that case, maybe there's a few, but you know, the bottom line is it's a few that's happening in our most vulnerable part of society.
Your experience is that the logical, the unintended consequence would be that there'd be a requirement of some kind of fix prior to closing or an adjustment in how much financing is available.
No, that the transaction would not be able to happen because if the property doesn't meet minimum property requirements, then it can't transact under conventional financing. And I would just
our
also...
Our code doesn't say that we don't prescribe what... We haven't set minimum property requirements through our code in terms of what kind of energy efficiency you have to have.
Correct. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, FHA, VA have those guidelines that are available online.
Okay. Well, this is very helpful information. Yep. Obviously, we do want to see your written follow-up as well, and it might even call on you as a technical resource.
Happy to do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you both. Okay. Let's take the next three, please.
Next three, please. Christian Rusby, Jan Zuckerman, Kim Croft Miller.
Okay.
They'll be followed by Jan Leo, Kim Hayworth, and Phil Norman. And let me just announce we have two sheets, the support opposed. I'm reading three names at a time, and then I'll alternate.
Switching
sheets.
Back and forth. Okay, thank you very much. Good morning. Whoever would like to go first.
Good morning. My name is Christian Rusby. First of all, thank you for your great work in supporting our citizens. I apologize for my speaking impediment, but this is very important to me. I bought a home last year with my wife, and I've sunk tens of thousands of dollars into it to bring it to modern energy codes. We would appreciate having the score to help evaluate, even roughly, how much work needs to be done to bring it up to modern energy codes. Climate change is driven by burning fossil fuels. Home heating and driving automobiles are side by side as having large impacts, making the planet hotter. Our children deserve to choose their impact on the planet they're inheriting. So, through knowing with an energy score. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming. Good morning.
Good morning. My name's Jan Zuckerman. I'm an educator, small business owner, and mother, and I feel proud to live in a city that understands the urgent need to respond to the climate crisis. The home energy score is yet another positive step in ensuring that Portlanders take our part in cutting carbon emissions. As citizens, we overwhelmingly support no new fossil fuel infrastructure, and this requirement asks us to walk our talk by incentivizing homeowners and buyers to make energy-efficient improvements. As a homeowner, I understand the responsibility that I have in impacting the environment with the decisions that I make. When my husband and I helped our daughter buy a home, we had concerns about the energy, use, and costs involved. The realtor could only provide us with a heating bill from the previous owner, which gave us very little information. It was very frustrating. The home energy score allows homeowners like myself to be more informed decision makers instead of victims of surprise. But more importantly, the score is a win-win situation, giving homeowners and prospective buyers the power of knowledge, ability to cut costs, and encourages investment in clean energy. The true beneficiaries of this requirement and other steps we take to curb our energy use, however, are the children that will be here when we are gone. Since November 8th, my three children and many of my former students have turned to me for solace. With permafrost melting at unprecedented rates, we are already rapidly approaching a tipping point in which the Arctic would change from a carbon sink to a carbon source. Each step towards implementing the Portland Climate Action Plan provides our youth with the momentum and hope to continue to make progress on even bigger issues to combat climate change. Years ago, Charlie and Vicki Hertel had a dairy farm in Tualatin Valley. When they were mandated by environmental agencies to move their operation away from the West Dairy Creek, they could not afford to relocate. Instead of giving up, they transformed their dairy into Sun Gold, an organic farm keeping alive their family tradition of caring for the land. This was no easy task. It took hard work, determination, and willingness to change with the times. Not everything has to solely be seen as a cost. Oftentimes, change is an opportunity in disguise, and that's exactly what the home energy score provides. The benefits greatly outweigh the costs. Like Charlie and Vicki, we must be willing to change with the times. We owe it to our children and all life on this planet to do whatever it takes to protect them. Tomorrow, when my family gathers together, we will thank the Standing Rock Water Protectors for sacrificing everything to protect our precious Earth and for reminding us that we should be doing the same. A home energy score may seem like an inconvenience to some, but in the big picture, it is exactly the kind of environmental justice action our city must say yes to. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Kim Croft Miller. Thank you so much for hearing our discussion today. I'm here as a homeowner who has suffered the unintended or the consequences of not having such a measure. We bought our home 17 years ago. It's a 1940s house. And we had three small girls at the time. And we woke up one morning and it was cold house and the heat was, the oil was gone. And that first bill was $1,000 that we didn't really have. and that continued on that way about every 4 months. Our house, it turned out, was an energy sieve. And we didn't really know, we learned the extent of it as the years went on. And there's nothing so stressful as a surprise. Right, we had to do a deferment on an extension on our taxes. We had saved for taxes. We knew about taxes. We just didn't know that this kind of thing was possible. A couple years ago, when our home was retrofitted, energy retrofitted by Inhabit, we learned exactly why. They pointed out all the areas that were so bad. But one of the big shocks was next to the fireplace, there was a place we kept the wood, and it turned out that in that compartment, there was no ceiling to that. And so it was open all the way to the attic, and the attic was uninsulated. So my husband and I just felt sick when they showed us this, because basically it was just flowing out, you know, years and years of thousands of dollars. And I just felt like it would have been so wonderful to know that, to know what it was going to cost, and so we could prepare for it. So I'm just here to say, you know, please support this measure.
Thank you very much. It was a very useful story. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take
Mayor, can I just ask the clerk, how many other people do we have testifying?
No, we have about 60.
How many?
60.
And we're going to ask folks
to, we originally, in our calendar, budgeted this for, I think, and that means we have a lot of people we may be inconveniencing. Mayor, can we do a little scheduling?
So we're going to, what we'll do, I think, is go till maybe 12:15 and then take a break. And again, we want to ask people, obviously, we want to hear from you, but if you can avoid being repetitive, we've heard great testimony so far, so I don't think we have been yet, but please do. If you think someone's already covered your point and you are willing to yield, that would be helpful as well.
Now, we want to hear from everybody, but what it effectively means is, morning council is now going to shift to afternoon council.
I think we're
going to probably. Anyone's here on any of the next items, we're not going to get to them before lunch.
That's right. I think we'll probably plan on continuing the rest of the morning calendar until the beginning of our 2 p.m. session.
Do we have the appointee to the CRC here?
I don't know. Do we? I don't. Is the appointee here? All right.
Citizen Review Committee?
Yeah, we may need to take a break and deal with that.
Yeah, I mean, if they're here, I'd hate to have them. Yeah. Tell them to come back after lunch.
Yeah. Okay. Let's if we have appointee here, we'll take a break for that. Let's take some more testimony and then we'll do that before we break. Okay. Good. Thank you very much. Let's take the next three, Sue.
Yes, Jane Leo, Jason Trombley, Phil Norman. They'll be followed by Michael Human, Sam Pastrick, Alan Lee.
Good morning. I think you're first, Ms. Leo.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. I'm Jane Leo with the Portland Metropolitan Association of Realtors, and I'm here on behalf of the 8,000 members of the association to encourage you not to adopt this flawed, costly, and intrusive ordinance. We support the efforts to reduce carbon emissions and energy usage in the city, but we do not support this proposal. When I look at the ordinance, I question, is the city intending to create a home buying tool, or is the city intending to create a program that will meet its carbon emissions? If the city is attempting to create a home buying tool, it's unnecessary. The city does not have the expertise or the knowledge to understand all the nuances that go into selling, financing, and buying a home and that are constantly changing. The city does not have a role in a financial transaction between a buyer and a seller. If the intent of this proposal is to meet the carbon emission goal, it won't. Such a mandate impacts only 4 to 6% of Portland's single-family inventory, leaving the remaining 94% completely untouched. If the city is intending that there be audits to know energy efficiency, it should be incentivizing programs for all homes, for all homeowners, whether they're buying or selling. It cannot be ignored that this program will place a demand on the general fund, despite the report that was given to you. In 2015, more than 13,000 homes transacted that would have been under the ordinance's requirements. This number does not include the home put up for sale and then withdrawn. It is unrealistic to assume only one FTE will be needed to track the homes for sale and screen the exemptions. As I said, instead of attempting to regulate people's behavior, the city should instead be focused on education and incentives to increase energy efficiency for all Portland homes. In fact, the U.S. Department of Energy and Energy Trust have free online do-it-yourself home energy programs. And finally, in closing, I challenge the city's interpretation of ORS 496, or 469 rather, in that the ordinance says that the city director will make the energy score available to the public. ORS 469 specifically states that the scores will not be published by homeowner name or address. This was done to do no harm. In closing, I encourage you to vote against this ordinance as it's currently written.
Jane, I have a quick question, and thank you for your letter, and it makes all the arguments that you have presented to us. Your industry, your members represent buyers and sellers, correct?
Correct.
Obviously not in the same transaction. We've heard some testimony as to why this might create complexities for a seller, but why would this additional disclosure be bad for a buyer?
A PSU did a study in 2012 that said that having an energy audit did very little to change the behavior of how a person lives in the home. Education to reducing energy usage had better results than an audit. So for the buyer to know the score is not going to necessarily change their behavior or the level of energy used in that home. Also, with our older construction that was built to code at the time, short of doing a total remodel to the studs, some of the energy upgrades cannot be done. There are certain things you can do. You can put more insulation into the attic. You can insulate the crawl space. But that's not going to be comparable to a newer home. So this, to me, it's an apples to oranges comparison. When a buyer looks at the energy score for one home and the energy score for the next door home, they're not necessarily going to be comparable depending on years built and energy efficiency upgrade made. Plus, the buyer has the right to, one, ask for the audit, negotiate for it if it's important to them, and secondly, through the home inspection, and I believe you have recently participated or been subject to a home inspection, you know that much of the information that is provided in an assets-based energy audit is provided in that home inspection report.
So my second question is, if there's a discrepancy between the information in the home inspection report about energy efficiency and the energy score and report that's the subject of this matter, how do you recommend that be resolved?
The property disclosure form is in state statute. It's applicable no matter where you are in this state.
You have to sign that under some kind of penalty.
Yes, and you also have the right as a homeowner that you don't know, you don't know certain things about the house,
right.
And that's totally possible.
But getting to this question, you have your disclosure, which has some information. You have, and some of it's required by law. You have an inspection, which the buyer may request, and depending on how diligent that person is, they can find a lot of stuff. And then you have this report with a score. What happens if, let's assume there's information that can't be reconciled because either someone made a mistake or there's a difference in opinion. How would you propose we resolve that problem if there's a discrepancy between any of those three disclosures?
Well, first of all, I don't think the city has a role in that. And secondly, that's up to the buyer to decide how they want to go forward on the transaction if there's a discrepancy.
If that's the case, and I've heard a lot of evidence, a lot of testimony about how this might impact sellers, doesn't, at least sort of in the cup half full way of looking at this, isn't that more information that then empowers the buyer to make a more informed decision? I mean, you may argue that it's redundant information or unnecessary or there's a cost. I understand that I've read your testimony. But since your industry represents buyers and sellers, isn't more information for the buyer generally a good thing?
We are finding that our buyers are more and more self-educated, and they are coming into it with information. They don't need the city to be demanding, being intrusive into their transaction.
That's a philosophical disagreement about whether it's mandated or voluntary, or whether it's voluntary.
So, Jane, I know you were consulted during the development of this, and I understand your position, and I want to follow up particularly with the staff on the point you raised most prominently, which is the question about disclosure, of the information on the map. don't need to do this now, but later it might be helpful to us if you could, through your national organization, let us know of elements in some of the other cities' programs that you think are an improvement over what's in front of us. In other words, if it's do this, do nothing, or do something else, I understand your first recommendation is don't do this, but if we're going to do it and we haven't yet gotten it to the best practice that you and the National Association of Realtors, given the experience in Austin and Washington, D.C. and these other cities, you know, we would appreciate hearing from you about, well, if you're going to do this, fix that. And you've already obviously highlighted one of those things. I would appreciate hearing from you on that subject.
If I could just add to that very quickly.
Please. Yeah.
In the city of Austin, for those of you that I met with or that your staff were available to me, I dropped off a list of the city of Austin's exemptions, because those show that the city of Austin, by allowing exemptions for work already done, for remodels that were Energy Star, for houses that are being rebuilt, for houses that are newer than 10 years and built to code, they are coming closer to meeting their goal because they are exempting work that has been done from being under the mandate of an audit. So to me, that moves you closer to meeting your goal rather than being immediately punitive with a financial charge. And the ordinance reads that the director has the right to levy fines if the energy scores are not reported.
Yeah, okay, good. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Can I just piggyback on one other thing? Jane, you're often in the position of coming before us and saying either that a proposal is a bad idea, or sometimes you couple it with you think it's either illegal or subject to some kind of override. In your letter, you make a case for why you think it's a bad idea on behalf of your members, but you don't say that you don't suggest that we don't have the legal authority to do this. So, am I reading this letter correctly?
I challenge the legal authority to post the information on Portland Maps or any public website where it's tied to the homeowner's name and the homeowner's address.
And because of what the state law is on that?
Correct. And the Oregon Department of Energy administrative rules.
All right. Yeah, your fourth paragraph deals with that specifically. Thank you. We'll check that out. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Hales, members of the commission. My name is Jason Trombling. I'm a community member, and I had not intended to speak this morning, but listening to the presentations this morning, I was thankful that a person who had signed up for testimony yielded their spot so that I could share information today. I'm currently a member of the Asian Pacific American Network of Oregon and also an active member of the Coalition of Communities of Color. And so it was important for me to understand kind of the complexity of what this process or this proposal will impact on low-income families and particularly communities of color. And so for me, the biggest takeaway was getting a sense of, you know, in particular that Apano never received information on this proposal, or was, at least from my understanding from staff, their staff this morning, that they were not engaged in earlier steps of the process. So for me, my biggest concern is that while some organizations or community members are saying that this is a potential benefit for low-income families or communities of color, the very organizations whose sole charge is to empower these families to get them to the table were never consulted. So if I'm hearing from staff at Apano that they weren't consulted, I have to explicitly ask in your name of the work around racial equity and equity for the city, what organizations were not included at the table in the development of this process. So as a community member, in the name of equity, this truly, given the work that you're championing, is really frustrating to me, and I hope that as you're working to develop this proposal and land on an official vote, that you're more inclusive of communities who you are saying that you're working to better serve.
We'll check that. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Phil Norman. I do superior weatherization, and I want something a whole lot better than this. I want checklists that the homeowner can continually update with the things that he does or hires done, not having to continue to rely on and pay out to an auditor. Audits don't work. They have a very low return in getting work actually done. This is dealing with a failure by Energy Trust over the last 10 years, whatever, to accomplish weatherization. We're down to maybe 1,500 homes weatherized a year out of $200 million that's collected with the public purpose fund. We need a whole new program where a checklist maintains the list of important things to be done in a home, including roofs, plumbing, and wiring, and for all those critical repairs to be dealt with by upfront financing. People get a report, they can't deal with it, it doesn't get done. We need upfront financing for everyone.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. So I do want to... go ahead.
I know you're going to... No, I didn't have a question. I just noticed that we forgot to say that people could come up if they're caring for a small child, and I see a small child whose parents are desperately hanging on. So
yeah, come on down. We're going to take this other item briefly and then return to this, but we'll extend that courtesy. I did forget to mention that. Thank you, Commissioner Pritz. Okay, so I'm going to temporarily close this hearing and move to another council item because we have somebody here as a volunteer who is willing to be appointed to important work. So we're going to take up 1299 briefly.